first question, actually, from Canada. Quite an important question. It may take some time, but it really needs to be answered, because she says it's very confusing nowadays. We have four schools of thought, four different imams. So many people call to this imam, to another imam. She says, where do we draw the line? How do we go about following these four schools of thoughts in our everyday practical living as a Muslim?
As a matter of fact, it is on the contrary. It is much clearer now than before that the four schools of thoughts are not for different religions,
mm-hmm.
nor even for different sects or parties in Islam. Undergoes the ruling of this ummah will be divided into 73 sects. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Exactly.
The four schools of thoughts were founded by four great scholars, came in different areas and different timings. Of course, the first was Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. May Allah have mercy on him, in Iraq. Then there was Al-Imam Malik, then there was Al-Imam Shafi'i, may Allah have mercy on him, and finally Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. By the way, for your information, it's not only four schools of thought, there are much more than that, very well respected and honorable scholars, besides these four imams. It is very interesting to understand that these imams loved one another, respected one another, and some of whom were even disciples and students of another imam, like Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, studied from since his childhood with Al-Imam Malik, but it doesn't mean that he agreed with him on everything, that he has his own thought based on the references that he collected. He traveled a lot, he went even to study the school of Imam Abu Hanifa, he adopted some of his opinions, and he refuted some based on the new evidences that appeared before him. The summary to all of that is that we heard from them saying that إذا صح الحديث فهو مذهبي. What does it mean? If I just tackle this statement, it should be enough to explain to the viewers that these imams are stemming from the same origin and taking their knowledge from the same source and basing their opinions on the same foundation, the Quran and the Sunnah. They said if the hadith is proven to be sound and is attributed properly to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which hadith? The hadith which I quoted as a reference, if it is proven to be sound, then this is my madhab. What if it is proven to be weak? And Imam so-and-so's hadith is proven to be right, then my madhab is his madhab. So they do not have independent religions. I see some people are so prejudiced when it comes to the four schools of thoughts. And he says, I'm following this madhab and I will never change it. And if any other opinion, he will not take it. No. For every Muslims, for the common folk who are not professional nor specialized in studying fiqh, because these schools of thoughts are with regards to the fiqh, the rules and regulations, the legislations, do and do not do, haram and halal, and so on. If you are not a scholar, nor a researcher, nor a seeker of knowledge, then just follow your local imam. And the local imam is a higher level, understands that we do not follow blindly. For instance, I will give you one example. Even though the opinion of Al-Jumhur, and it's been a while that we've been discussing in this program, the meaning of Al-Jumhur, the vast majority, which is not necessarily every time the same scholars, but Al-Jumhur, if the vast majority of the scholars agree to a certain opinion, and there is a little bit of other scholars who oppose that, then the majority we call them Al-Jumhur, the vast majority. Even though the vast majority have agreed that there is no zakah on jewelry, which is prepared for adornment that a woman may wear, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy on him, opposed that. And he said no. He had another hadith. He based his opinion on a hadith. He said no, there is the zakah due annually, every single year, on the woman's jewelry, whether she wears them or not, whether she using them as means of adornments or not. So we say in this program that we adopt the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa and we disregard the opinion of Al-Jumhur with disregard. But not every single time we adopt the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa. It is very interesting to understand. I started my life studying in the study of fiqh in Al-Azhar, where I began by studying fiqh 7 consecutive years I studied the fiqh al-Hanafi. Then my other brothers who were enrolled in al-Azhar as well, each one was studying a different madhab, Shafi'i for instance. So if it happens and we come together in the evening to eat dinner,
It must have been a heated dinner then.
Oh my God. you should really be there to see the situation.
Mm-hmm.
A fight would break up between us if we ever discuss any mas'ala. Why? Because we're still students. We don't understand. I was only studying Hanafi. So I don't believe in any other madhab but this. And I was totally solid. I believed in everything was said in this madhab. Then later on, when we joined the college, we had to study comparative fiqh. The different schools of thoughts, Shafi'i, Hanafi, Maliki, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, with regards to the same mas'ala, the same case, the same question. Then you come to enlarge your understanding and widen your mind and understand that this is religion. This is deen to be taken from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not from any other person. These scholars base their views on the available references that they collected. And they made ijtihad. Ijtihad is a possible and permissible effort to be exerted in finding a solution or an answer for a mas'ala that doesn't have an immediate or a shortcut or a straightforward answer due to lack of evidence or references in this case. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for such mujtahid, who's a great true scholar, that has to achieve certain conditions so that to be considered as a mujtahid. A true scholar who has memorized the entire Quran and several thousand hadith, authentic hadith, and understands the difference between the sound hadith and the weak hadith, the different categories of hadith, masters the aqidah, and most importantly, master the different categories of the Arabic language. Not just understood it. Not just understood it, but he mastered it. Let's take this phone call first and we'll resume.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh.
Okay. I'm sure that you will forget to resume
okay.
the answer to the question of the four schools of thought.
Okay, Karen, finish this question.
Inshallah, we'll finish this first, then inshallah, we'll tackle the issue of the month of Ramadan. So, I requested from one of my dear friends, Dr. Hatim, to present a program concerning the evolution of fiqh in order to explain to the viewers that these schools of thoughts are not different religions or even different sects. This is not Catholic and Protestant, no. This is the same deen, the same madhab, the same manhaj, the same mainstream of the ummah. So when it comes to concluding the ahkam, if you are a seeker of knowledge, you will base your opinion on the sound reference.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, who adopted this opinion, even if he's not my imam. And you will get to understand this after you study thoroughly the different schools of thoughts. And if you are an ordinary person, that's not your role to pick and choose and say, I think I prefer this or I like that. No, it's not up to you then. Then you rely on the view of your local sheikh who studied the different schools of thoughts and understood it. I also wanted to remind you, brothers and sisters, that there were other scholars besides the four great imams, such as Al-Layth, Misa'ad, such as the students of Imam Abu Hanifa, may Allah mercy on him, Zufar, Muhammad, Abu Yusuf, and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, such as Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, and so many others that came before or even after them. But these are the four most imams. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on him, is a great example of concluding the hukm after studying the all different schools of thoughts in his series of al-Fatawa. It is an amazing collection where you find an answer for one mas'ala. He presents the different views. Imam Abu Hanifa said so and so, and Imam al-Shafi'i said so and so. He presents the different opinions, then he concludes the right opinion based on the sound reference. So if you're not a scholar, it would be sufficient to ask to get a fatwa from a program like this or consider your local imam or true seekers of knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to what's best.
Jazakallah khair. Okay.